Good morning to you all. Morning. Nice to see you here. Nice that the sun hasn't attracted you to stay away from this part of the service this morning. Kind of just to clarify what I'm meaning by that is that if you're a visitor here or if you haven't picked up the notices over the past few weeks, then this morning's fourth Sunday service is even more unusual than usual, if you get what I mean. Do we like it? I don't know. Either way, we do persistently try and keep people on their toes in regard to fourth Sundays. And so today we're keeping people on the toes, and maybe literally if you're coming to join us later. There's been a piece of work that I've been involved with for the last 2 years called Fourth Sunday Adventures. And Dave and Tim, the ministers here, invited me to kind of introduce everybody to it in some way. The idea is that rather than worshipping purely inside these four walls, actually we take our worship and our encounter, our expectation of encountering God out into the hillside. And so immediately following this service, then everybody's invited to come and join us. If I say it now and then say it at the end, then it gives people a chance to mull over in their mind if they know where I'm talking about. It's quite an easy place to get to. Coldbeck Common. Do people kind of know where Mungrisdale is? You know, if you head on down sort of the A66 heading towards Keswick, and then just before you get to the big lump of Blencathra, there's a right-hand turning and it says Mungrisdale. And if you head off up there, you get to this nice little village and it's got a little pub. You might be able to watch the football there. The little village of Mungrisdale, and then you continue following that road and it just follows the bottom of the hillside for about another 3 miles, and then it gets to a place called Coldbeck or maybe even Kailbreck Common. And it's just a bit of common land, which means that we're allowed to use it as common folk, unless we have any landed gentry that could offer us something next time, which would be great. But it's a piece of common land, and there's loads of parking available around there. And the plan is to meet at a big piece of grass near to where the river... Does the road ford the river, or does the river ford the road? I think the road fords the river. Yeah, we'll go for that way. So at the point where the road fords the river, there's obviously a ford, it's that obvious, and then we'll just kind of, there's a big piece of grass there. We'll try and gather there whenever you make it. If you make it a bit later because you've got your packed lunch or your sun cream, then sort that out first, and there'll always be people there, or at least I'll be sat there in the deck chair and just come and wake me. I think that's kind of the first round. I'll offer it again at the end of the service before we leave in the hope that people will have a fairly clear idea that if they want to come and join us, that's where we're going. But for now, we've got a short half hour here together because I'm aware that not all people are going to be able to join us, and so that we're offered some time today of gathering as God's people and seeking to encounter God. Then we'll start with a short time of worship. I shall unpack a little bit of my thoughts around the idea of experiencing God in creation, and then that'll be that. But let's begin with a prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the way that it warms our hearts. Thank you for this place, Cumbria, and the Lake District, and for all the beauty that's there. We thank you for the way that your awesomeness, your majesty has been revealed to us in so many ways, through what you've created and through the people we meet, through the words we read in the Bible, through the music we sing in church, through the lives and example of people that have gone before us, all of it containing murmurs and whispers of your awesomeness and gloriousness. And Lord, we gather this morning because we want to be a part of that. We pray that this morning our hearts and minds and bodies would be open to encountering you again. Give us a fresh way to talk about you. Give us a new way to hear the call of love that you cry out for each and every one of us. And bless our time that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin with a hymn. It's number 82 in Singing the Faith, if you're using the books, otherwise the words will be up on the screen. O Lord, my God, a great way to celebrate all that God has made. I like this idea of my soul singing. I guess often when I go out into the fells, whether with other people or on my own, and then there's occasions where you get that sense that your soul sings. And it's not even always right up on the top of a mountainside. It can also be down in a valley somewhere, in a sense of peace, not necessarily captured by awe, but just captured by this sense of, this is okay. and there's something about it that kind of stirs my soul to sing. And I like the way that song kind of reflects the same idea, this singing soul. And I guess one of the inspirations behind doing the fourth Sunday Adventure is recognising that in people that claim not to know God, that actually their soul sings in those same places. And I wonder if their soul is actually also singing, God, how great you are. And I think it's something of that we try and capture in this idea of going out into the fells to encounter God. Because it means that we can put to one side a lot of the language that we have to use in church. It means that for people that have maybe been a little switched off by church, they've seen hypocrisy in church, the media has helped them to identify all kinds of negative things about church. And let's be fair, that's the way that our media works. It likes to highlight the miserable and the negative. Actually, most of the stuff that we as a group of people hit the news for is the miserable stuff. And of course, it doesn't take into account the fact that we're an amazing resource for the community that we were celebrating just a few weeks ago in the Thanks and Giving weekend. It doesn't celebrate all of that good stuff that we do. It doesn't celebrate the sense of community that as we gather in here, it reminds us of the negative. And of course, if nobody ever comes into these four walls, then they don't experience the positive side and just hear the bad news. And so there's many people out in our communities that are very switched off in this idea of God, and yet can't help but notice their soul sings when they're outside somewhere. It's interesting that actually research has been done, perhaps particularly amongst young people, but also across the ages, in regard to mental health and ill mental health, and how we sort of make ourselves more resilient to the sort of onslaughts of the world around us. That actually big open spaces are one of those things that actually has positive effects. There's something about it that just naturally does us good. And when there's something naturally doing as good, I've got to imagine that God's probably right in the middle of it. Because that's kind of how I understand God. I think God's for us. I think God is reaching out to us, whether we know him or not. So yeah, we kind of play a little bit of a game with the Fourth Sunday Adventures. Well, I say we, it's mostly me plays this game, but it's this idea of the language that we use, actually trying to create language that is less religious. And so we talk about this sense of other that we encounter out in the cells, because if I start to use the word God, then it means that somebody's mind's already going towards a man with a beard in the clouds, and that's not who I'm trying to invite them to encounter, because I'm not sure that man's there anyway. But as Christians, I think there's something quite challenging and yet great about that same game. And I guess I'd invite you, if you're coming to join us today, have a go at playing the game. If you go out into the fells anyway, play the game yourself. But can you use non-religious language to describe your encounter? What's going on for you? Because I guess when we're in these four walls, then very often we use terms and phrases that are dead familiar to us. But of course they're completely unfamiliar to the rest of the world. It's a very cultural thing for Sunday church. A lot of the language that we use, the language of God, of salvation, of reconciliation. These are words that are out there, but for us they have particular terms, they've got particular references. And actually trying to step away from some of them, I think actually makes God a little bit bigger. Because the God that I've encountered in this building and in other sort of church buildings is, I know it's the same God, and yet it's quite different to the God that I encounter out in the fells. It's almost as if, in these four walls, I've got a certain lens. And I love meeting that God, and I love the way that the God in this building stirs my heart, makes my soul sing. But actually, what happens out in the fells is something different. And suddenly, rather than meeting always the same ideas of God, actually we're meeting something more. We're being invited to believe that God's actually bigger than the box that we've put God into. The idea of taking God out of the box is, I think it's liberating, and yet on occasion a little bit worrying as well, because you kind of wonder, start to wonder actually, what is it I'm talking about? And so I guess to try and keep a hold on that, then of course we use scripture, we use the church tradition to inform it, but at the same time, it's something different. I can see a few looks around that people are going, and that's good, you know, I'm going to leave you with them. You're going to have to try and fill some of those gaps yourself. If anyone ever comes along to the cafe service, they'll know that people go away with more questions than answers. I don't know. I think Jesus demonstrates that's probably quite a good way to go, because then it means we go away hungry rather than thinking that we've been satisfied. So I'll leave people to go away hungry this morning. I've got a Bible reading. I asked them, somebody was down to do it, and then I said, oh, I don't think I need it, and then I did. So I've got Amara to come and read for us.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was barren with no form of life. It was under a roaring ocean, covered with darkness. But the Spirit of God was moving over the water. God spoke and created all things. God looked at what he had done. All of it was very good. In the beginning was the one who is called the Word. The Word was with God and was truly God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God, and with this Word, God created all things. Nothing was made without the Word. Everything that was created received its life from him, and his life gave light to everyone. The light keeps shining in the dark, and darkness has never put it out.
Do you recognise that last one as a Christmas reading? Did you know that the countdown to Christmas starts tomorrow? It's the 25th of June, we've made it. We're on the way in. Oh no. Terrible news. Anyway, I like the way those two readings sit together in my mind, and that's why I asked Amara to read them out for us. It kind of shows us a creation story, recognising the Spirit of God moving amongst creation, and then it also roots very much the one called the Word, the Christ as we come to know him, as Jesus as we come to know him, as he's born and appears as man. But for me, there's something within that that supports this idea that creation was the first Bible. We have the Bible, the words that we hold in front of us now, and we find it very easy to get on with that. We're very much a sort of word, a book culture. We kind of understand how to get on with that. And so we've kind of ignored creation and what it's got to say. But if the Bible is about God revealing himself through human history and the way that's been captured and turned into words, then actually creation was the first moment of God revealing God's self. God created out of God everything that was created, received its life from him, and his life gave light to everything. Nothing was made without the Word. The Word was in all things. So it appears that actually it's almost a greater revelation, because we acknowledge the very human influence in the writing of the Bible, whereas there's something about creation where it's a little bit unadulterated. We can't actually throw our own little bits in. And yet, of course, the Bible is an easy way for us to start to put the shape of God together, the shape of God moving through history and that kind of thing. And so we don't throw one out and replace it with the other. But actually, just how much bigger does it make the Bible when we hold both of them and are able to view one at the same time as viewing the other, and putting our rational mind that reads the Bible together with our experiential being that hangs out in creative places and kind of goes, my soul's singing, what's that? Actually, when we put them together, then we start to see how it makes a little bit more sense. Again, it's an invitation that next time you're out there, whether today or next time you're out anytime, have a look. Will you allow creation to speak of its creator? I did a little workshop a while ago talking about the idea of Fourth Sunday Adventures. And we came up with three things, three ways that God encounters people out in creation. And the first one that we're perhaps most familiar with is this idea of metaphor. Again, it kind of works with our comfortable, rational mind. We see a big mountain and we're reminded, oh, God's massive. We see the sky, a sky full of stars, and we're kind of like, oh yeah, I thought God was massive when I looked at that mountain and I look at the rest of the universe that's captured before me and think, God really is massive. And so it kind of helps us to build that. We can do that with metaphors. We could think of things like, I know, God is a shelter, if you like. God is our protector. And I tell you, when you're up on the hillside and you find a little ruin of stone wall and you can duck down behind it when the rain's horizontal, it sets that in a whole new light. This idea of being protected and sheltered. You're still getting wet, you still know the storm's there, and yet actually you're in a place where you know you can hold out. And of course, because it's an experience, actually it's almost like a parable. Imagine that. Creation is a parable, an experience is a parable. We're being invited to play with the story. But the story is my story. It's my story of hiding behind this wall. But I'm invited to play with it in the same way that we do with parables. Actually, each time I'm out there, I can understand something new. Just imagine how rich that makes it. And so metaphor is a great way of doing it, and it helps us to experience more of what we already know. Then there's awe. We've already touched on this a little bit, this idea of awe and wonder. Sometimes I think we limit the idea of awe just down to that sense of like, oh, look at that huge scene in front of me, isn't it fantastic? Yes, of course, there's awe in that, but for anyone that's taken the time to look in detail at flowers, at the whole mix of flowers that's around, just if you go to any patch of grass, then you'll suddenly notice the variety of leaves in it, the variety of shades and shapes and smells when you rub the vegetation and what comes up from it. I tell you, if you take that kind of time, then you're kind of like, oh, that's just amazing. I thought it was just a piece of grass. And then suddenly your eyes are open to something greater. So awe in the big and in the small, in the details. And I think awe, it disturbs us a little bit as well. Because in a place of awe, it challenges what we think we already know. And so when I know, perhaps if I just lived with my head down all the time, and then suddenly stared up at the stars, while my head was down, I was thinking, you know, this is all there is. I'm actually pretty much the centre of everything. There's a few people around me that are important, but by the time I lift my head and I'm captured by that awe, then I'm forced to confront that belief. So suddenly I think, oh, actually this is but a small drop of everything that there is. It unsettles us. It kind of disturbs us if we allow it. And I guess the invitation again is allow things like awe and wonder and surprise to stir you, to unsettle your worldview. This is how I'd made sense of things, and now it's being challenged. Because in that challenge, I think that's the place where God meets us. As we allow a few of those cracks in who I am to appear, when I've been shaken by something like whatever it was we were just talking about. When I've been shaken by something like that, it creates a few cracks and suddenly the light can creep in or out if I'm with others. And then the final one is space, because our world is so full of distractions and busyness and noise and fuss. And while ever the fells aren't a quiet place, and particularly if you walk in with a bunch of people, they're not always quiet. Well, Andrew. Andrew's always our seeker of solace on a fourth and an adventure. He turns up every week and has to find a place to go and take some photos. It's not. The world's full of noise, and what creation provides, what the natural world provides, is a lot of space. Simply for the fact that you're looking all the way to the horizon, which is many miles away. Or because it creates space, because you... Perhaps if we start with the idea of a campfire. You know around campfires, how everybody talks about stuff they wouldn't normally talk about? Because everyone's looking at the fire. Everyone's kind of with the fire, and they don't have to look each other in the eye. If it goes quiet, it doesn't matter, because we've still got the fire there. The same thing happens out on walks, out on a climb, out paddling a boat. It happens in those places, because I'm not the focus, I'm suddenly liberated to talk about whatever is on my heart. Because I'm at the front of the boat, I don't even have to look them in the eye. I could just keep my head down and keep talking about that stuff that's been been actually eating away at me. It invites me into a place where I can talk about all kinds of things. And I don't know if many of you made it on the Thanks and Giving weekend over into the bridge and read up some of the stuff about our Sunday adventure. We collected some feedback from people that are regulars with us, and just this, one of the common themes that was coming back in people's testimonies of the Forsoon Adventure is that it creates a natural space to have conversation about things I wouldn't normally talk about. So you have to sit there all quiet. You don't even get to talk this morning because it's all me at the front. But you know, once we've broken down that and we recognise that each of us has something of God to share with the other, then actually suddenly we've got 100 opportunities to have a godly inspired conversation with somebody about what is on their heart. For these 15 minutes, you've had to listen to me talk about what's on my heart. It just changes the perspective a little bit. I think that's probably enough talking. I can't go much further without saying something. Okay. I think the final thought then is that actually what I'm talking about in relation to the natural world in relation to creation, actually whatever does it for you, it can also be spoken about in that sense. So you know, if quilting is your thing, then actually the same things that we're talking about can be done in relation to quilting. It creates a space where it's easy to talk about anything. Sometimes when you stand back from what you've created and look at it, I look at other people's created works and I'm like, man, that's amazing. There is space for awe and wonder within that kind of realm. Is there space for metaphor? Yeah, if you really needed to. But actually something about just sharing yourself with other people as you gather around a piece of craft, as you gather around arranging flowers, as you gather around just having a cup of tea on an afternoon. Actually, by opening yourself up to the other person, it allows them to open themselves to you and to Christ, because Christ does dwell within us. And as we allow ourselves to crack and be opened a little to share with others, I think Christ leaks out. And I think that's a little bit of kind of what I'm talking about. But that's a bigger thought that I have to share at some other point. Let's pray, and then we'll sing a closing hymn, and then we'll go our separate ways. So let's pray again together. Lord God, we thank you for places where we've encountered you. We thank you for this building, for hillsides, for friendships, for family, for places of brokenness and sorrow, places of loss and hurt. In each of those places, you were there. I think of people that are experiencing a sense of darkness or loss in their lives at the moment, through physical pain, through ill mental health, through the loss of a loved one, through the loss of anything precious. And we invite you, Lord, to be alongside them. And Lord, strengthen us that we could be you to those people. Give us the words to say, the time and the opportunity to go and share something of you with those people. Think of the wider world and places of suffering, places that are still affected by war, places affected by disease, places affected by famine. Places affected by environmental disasters. And we lift those places up to you as well. And we lift up to you our friends and families for all that's going on in their lives, for better and for worse. We lift them up to you in love and ask that you'd help us love them and they would know your love. And finally, we lift one another to you, the people on our left, the people on our right, those in front of us, those behind us, as we sit here this morning. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless them. And as we pray that blessing on others, we recognise that we in turn receive a blessing from you. That our lives be full of your presence and that we in turn might be a blessing to others. And all these prayers and any others unspoken we lift up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our closing hymn, and I don't know if we're taking the collection now or if we're doing that as we kind of retire. Who's talking about retirement? Closing hymn is number 100 in the books, All Things Bright and Beautiful. You know, this song, it gets a good groan, doesn't it? All Things Bright and Beautiful. But you know, the words, they're actually quite good. Yeah, they are. I mean, it's obviously a classic sort of school assembly one, or an ancient Sunday school one. But you know, I think it's important to revisit them now and again. So let's sing together. Do be seated. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen. I think that's kind of what that song's talking about, isn't it? That idea that actually God's already been revealing himself through all those things. He's given us eyes to see them and lips that we might tell. Of course, we add to it our own story of our own encounters with God. We don't remain silent or ashamed of those times where God has met us in all kinds of ways, and yet actually simply talking about the wonder that's out there, because that already resonates with the lives of so many people. Actually, it gives us an opportunity to tell of how great God is. What did I want to do? I know, I wanted to remind people again where we're going. A66 towards Keswick. See a big lump of Blencathra, you turn off just before it down towards Munger Isdale. You basically stay on that road through the village and about another 3 miles on, following the bottom of the fell. Don't get tempted to go out towards Coldbeck and Heskett Newmarket just yet. Carry on the bottom of the fell for about three miles, and there'll be a ford where the road crosses the river and the river crosses the road. And it's around there that we'll be. Find somewhere to park and then we'll all try and gather up. When we get there, I'll try and get there fairly soon on. If you get there before us, then just make yourself comfortable. I've got some activities, so the kind of activity that we'd normally do on a regular Fourth Sunday adventure. I've just printed them out and laminated some sheets, so there's opportunity to go for a fairly long walk. If actually you're ready and brought your stuff for a long walk, and then I've put out a map and a route and a reflection for the top of Carrick Fell. That one will probably take you maybe 2.5 hours, so you need to take some food and drink with you. There's a shorter walk. I don't know if the gorse is still in flower. The last time I went there, it was just magnificent. The smell of coconut as you kind of wander through these gorse bushes. So there's a short walk, maybe just a mile. All of it quite easy, really. The final bit's on the road, which is nice and quiet. I've got a little game with a ladder. I did this with a bunch of young people. I think every time I mention the word ladder to Naomi Frost, she starts twitching a little bit. It's an interesting game. Come and have a go at that. It's to do with church unity. And the final one is to do some raft building. Just mini rafts. Again, we've had a go at this before. It's just great fun. I brought some wool. We just kind of tie together some sticks and things, decorate your raft as much as possible, and we'll see how far down Carrick Beck we can take it. And again, there's a reflection related to that, which gets us thinking about the whole journey that we're on, who we might want to travel with, those kind of things. So those kind of things will be there. Otherwise, just bring a deck chair and soak up the sun. I mean, what a fantastic afternoon for it. And if you drive quick, you probably get there, join us for picnic and hanging out a little bit, and then go for the football. Anyway, a closing blessing. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. The Christ that dwells within each one of us, that today would shine out of you. I bless you that who you are would be slightly cracked open today by something wonderful, that it would allow the light to shine out and for the light of Christ to shine into your life once more. Amen.